Hi, everybody. I'm Krista Seraph, and I'm here today to talk about fostering ethical source use. So my role is the SpeakRight specialist in the Eberly College of Arts and Sciences, and the SpeakRight program is designed to help professors in Eberly integrate speaking and writing throughout their disciplines and in their curriculum. So this discussion today is going to focus on plagiarism. So a problem that many of us face is that students do not summarize or paraphrase correctly, and then their writing is too close to the original, and when they do integrate sources, they really struggle with documentation. As academics, we typically write and publish all the time, and over time, we've learned how to use style manuals and document our sources. Plus, we're familiar with the discourse and language in our own fields, as well as our discipline's jargon and a lot of the research. So putting academic articles in our own words is kind of second nature. Our students should be able to do this too, right? Well, not so fast. So students struggle with citation and plagiarism for a lot of reasons. First, a lot of times you'll see students before they've taken the required English classes, English 101, 102, or 103 at West Virginia University. And those classes teach citation conventions, though most of them teach APA and MLA. They're not required to teach both, and sometimes students can choose which citation style they want to learn. Since most students are comfortable with MLA because they've learned it in high school, they might be less familiar with the citation style in your field, like Chicago. Plus, imagine that you're a student who's brand new to the discipline and you've been asked to read a scientific journal article. Where do you even start? Some of these skills that are second nature to us are really tough for students to master, and that leads to unethical source use. In this presentation, I'd like us to get on the same page about what counts as plagiarism, explore different types of unethical source use, especially those that may be unintentional, like patch rating or documentation errors and using genre moves. Then we'll talk about different models to foster ethical source use and explore activities and resources that you can use in your classes. So let's start with defining plagiarism. And you might pause the video or think to yourself, what do you think of when you think of plagiarism? You might also consider how you approach plagiarism. So what strategies do you have in place to prevent plagiarism by teaching students, as well as how do you deal with it when you think that there's a case of plagiarism? So one problem that we face is that even defining plagiarism is a complex task. On one hand, we have our institutional policy that says that even incorrect or partial citations are plagiarism. But on the other hand, writing scholars argue that we should distinguish between plagiarism that is deliberate and what happens when students are learning and struggle to learn citation conventions. So on the screen here, we have the WVU policy. And the Council of Writing Program Administration is an organization that, again, distinguishes between instructional settings and more deliberate types of plagiarism. So in terms of the different types, one of the reasons that it's actually really key to distinguish between types of plagiarism is that we teach and prevent these really differently. So when students intentionally plagiarize, they often submit papers they already wrote for other classes or that someone else altogether wrote. We address this problem by creating assignments that demand fresh content, by changing up our assignments, and by engaging students in drafting and revising. But when students unintentionally plagiarize, they do these other things that we're talking about today, like patch rating, or they have documentation errors. And we address that by explicitly teaching reading and writing skills. There are a lot of different causes of unintentional plagiarism. Students might not know how to take effective notes, or they may not understand what they read. When they're new to the discipline, they may not understand jargon and know how to put it in their own words. Also, some students may be new to the cultural expectations of the United States, where we tend to prize individual intellectual property. And some disciplines also regularly remix or use generic language, such as in some lab reports. And finally, there's just a learning curve. Sometimes we assign projects that require sources without teaching source use. And when all this happens, it's a perfect storm, and we may see patch rating, documentation errors, or incorrect genre move usage. Let's look at the issue of patch rating. Patch rating occurs when students paraphrase too closely to an original text. So let's look at patch rating in context of these other types of source use. First, we have on the top left-hand side of the screen, exact copying, then paraphrasing, then summary. Now consider patch rating. So patch rating is problematic because it does mean students are using other people's words without proper attribution. On the other hand, there's also evidence that suggests that this is something students do as they try and read a complicated text. So in other words, yes, patch rating is technically a form of incorrect citation use. If it's likely though that it's not deliberate because it's what students do when they're trying to understand what they're reading. So obviously though, we want students to be able to fully and correctly paraphrase and summarize since that demonstrates their understanding of what they read. And it also aligns with the concept of ethical source use. So in the original source on the right side of the screen, the student has on the left side attempted to change it. So this is an example of patch rating. So notice the highlighted words. So the student said studies show that children, whereas the original said studies have shown that. And so you can see in the highlighted text that there is a lot of really similar language here. And this is an example of patch rating. This is another example where the student took the original language, changed it, and put in quote marks, but then they didn't document it. And so again, this is an issue of both patch rating and incorrect citation because they need a citation for the quotes. Also, the first sentence is almost the same in both versions, but they use a different sentence structure. So that's also problematic. Instead, we want students to practice paraphrasing, which is what we have on the screen here. And here's an example of a correct paraphrase. So you might pause the screen and compare the differences. And I've highlighted keywords to show that even with correct paraphrasing, we don't need students to change simple keywords that are really just content-based, like parents or parenting. So how can we address patch rating? One thing you can do is to have students write informally in class so that they get used to the sources and the jargon of the field and begin to really understand what they're reading and writing about. We can also ask students to write more than one draft, noting that the early draft will display patch rating, and as they think about their sources and talk about them, students will be able to move towards proper paraphrasing and attribution. Finally, we might ask students to work more closely but with fewer sources so that they really have time to digest what they're reading. Another problem that we see is errors in documentation. In Lunsford and Lunsford's 2008 large-scale study, they identified the 20 errors that appeared most frequently in undergraduate student writing. Of the 20, three related to citation of and sources. So number three was omitting the original source, so incomplete or missing documentation. Number six was a mechanical error with a quote. And number 18 is poorly integrated quotation. So the grammar of the quotation maybe doesn't match the grammar of the neighboring prose. So here we have an example of two common types of documentation errors. On the left, we have a missing page number. And on the right, we have a missing author and year. We also have a poorly integrated quote that appears without an introductory text. So again, you might pause and look through this. So to address documentation errors, what you might do is actually use Turnitin, but use it as an activity to teach students. So have students submit their papers to Turnitin during the draft, and then have students use the similarity report to correct their writing. So using it as a teaching tool instead of a way to punish and detect plagiarism. You might also point students to the plagiarism avoidance tutorial on the WVU library website, which you can also integrate into your course shell. You might have students do a scavenger hunt where they look through the different style manuals and try to find out how to cite common types of sources. And you could also have students track patterns of error, which we have a handout for on the SpeakRite website. Okay, so as writers, we use genre moves, which are common ways of saying things, and that's okay, but the problem occurs here when students use genre moves that are too close to the source text. So this is kind of a third type of unintentional source use that is technically plagiarism, but that is really an opportunity for us to teach our students. So here's an example of different genre moves. So I have highlighted take up this call or calls for. So a lot of times whenever we are writing a research paper and we want other researchers to kind of build on our research, we might use an expression like this. And both examples use variations of the phrase calls for, which isn't plagiarism at all, because that's a really typical move that writers make in the genre of an academic paper. But if a student does this, they might be doing it when they're incorrectly paraphrasing. So for example, you can see the paraphrase here. So in this case, the student's trying to paraphrase Alexander and Shaver's piece, in which case the student should change the words take up, right? Because it's too similar. So to address genre move issues, we can give students multiple examples of sample texts, have a lesson on reading like a writer so they learn genre moves, and again, showing students how to interpret a Turnitin and report, because sometimes genre moves will be highlighted as plagiarism even when they're not. So far, we've talked about common ways students use sources and talked about activities to address each. So now let's look at different models of setting up our courses. So here are some different ways to approach ethical source use. On one hand, we have compliance-based models of teaching, and we also have instruction-based models. So in a class that uses a compliance-based model, the instructor assigns writing, detects plagiarism, and reports it. The benefits are that it doesn't take the instructor much time, and then it does penalize intentional plagiarizers. But the cons are that it's reactive. It's so instead of preventative, it's reacting to students. It's punitive, even for students who are unintentionally plagiarizing, and it lacks nuance because, again, it doesn't detect the difference between intentional and unintentional plagiarism. So I highly recommend that as an instructor, we consider that we all shift towards instruction-based ethical source use. So that means you assign writing, you teach how to read carefully, and how to cite sources and paraphrase. You ask students to apply to their work. You ask students to revise. And then if there are still problems, if necessary, you report. So the pros are that your students will learn new skills and it reduces unintentional plagiarism. But the cons are instructor time. But it can also be frustrating because you might be hoping that students learn this in their English classes. And while it's true that students need to learn these classes and these concepts in their English classes, I'll remind you of a few things. So one is that you might see students before they've taken both of the first year writing courses that are required here, in which case they might not be well versed in citation styles. Also, when students are new to your discipline, they might need to learn new conventions. And then, you know, they're learning to read content in your discipline. And so sometimes really focusing in on teaching, paraphrasing, and summarizing in your discipline can help students better understand the course content. So we've talked about these different best practices, and here are just a review of them. So you might want to distinguish between deliberate plagiarism and misuse of sources. Also, have bigger conversations with your students about plagiarism. We typically focus only on plagiarism, but we divorce the conversation about plagiarism from the original goal, which is about protecting intellectual property. So talk to students about why we talk about plagiarism, tell them that they have intellectual property that they also will get to protect. It's also important to note that in school context, plagiarism has really become an ethical construct, where in the public world, plagiarism is a legal term. So it's important to teach students to value their own work as intellectual property before teaching them to value the work of others. We might also place a nuanced plagiarism policy on the syllabi, teach citation conventions, teach reading skills, and teach the writing process. I suggest that you use an academic integrity policy that reflects both the institution's definition of plagiarism and an instruction-based approach. And so here's an example on the screen that you can use. And you can also do various activities with your students. So you could have students write in class. You might design assignments that require deep reading of a few sources. You can assign library modules at the beginning of the semester. You could do that at the beginning, which might prevent issues, or you can wait until students turn in a piece of writing. And if you see frequent issues with unethical source use, you can assign the library module, require that students complete it and take the quizzes and apply what they learned to correct their writing. So this can be effective because it gives students an authentic opportunity to apply what they learned in the library module. We also have several resources available to you through SpeakRight, and some of them are listed here. But the key is that you can visit our website, speakright.wvu.edu, to find all of these resources. Thank you and happy teaching.